Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, me and a surprise guest host, can you guess who, are going to talk about the homes that we're going to buy. We've got some apps for that. Plus, what is up with iMessage? I'd like to sing a little karaoke, and how about some video chatting? That's all next on iPad Today. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerful, simple way to meet and collaborate with coworkers and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even present from an iPad. Sign up for your free 30-day trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code iPad. And by Slingbox. Buy a Slingbox and turn your mobile device into a television. With Slingbox, you can watch high-def TV on your smartphone, laptop, or tablet anywhere there's an internet connection. Learn more at slingbox.com/twit. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other products are worth at gazelle.com. Hey, everybody. Sarah Lane here. It is week 3. In my hunger strike, since Leo has been gone. If only I might actually look nicer. Hi, Chad Johnson.
Hey, Sarah, how are you doing?
I was trying to, like, do, like, a big, great reveal and, like, reference your hair, and it's just,
could,
nothing worked.
Like, jump in front of your camera and do, like, the Jaws effect of the hair, but I couldn't, it was too much to ask.
That's okay.
Small space.
Hey, man, we're just limping along here.
I know, right?
Chad Johnson, thank you so much for being a guest host on iPad Today. Now, anybody who's watched the show for a while knows that for a long time, you were actually the technical director of the show.
Yeah, I had Brian's job for over a year, I think.
Yeah, I guess it was once we started in this studio here.
Right.
And then you kind of got busy because you do a bunch of other stuff at the Twit Network now.
Yeah, I started hosting two extra shows this week in YouTube and OMG Craft, which records in an hour and a half from now, or 2 hours from now, depending on how we go. And so I had to jump off. But iPad has still been a huge part of my life. And in fact, I bought an iPad because of this show. When I started TDing, it was just like, this is such a great product, and you guys taught me how to use it, because I was here watching the show every day.
Love to hear that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Did Leo pay for it?
No.
Oh.
No.
Wow. So,
Well, I wasn't hosting shows back then, so
he could probably pay for your next one, just saying.
Perhaps.
But, I'm glad that you're on the show, and some people might remember, earlier this year, you actually filled in for me.
I did.
I'd gotten in a car accident, I was home, my neck hurt, and you and Leo had a great show. Mm-hmm. I think you guys covered Google Apps.
We did.
On that show, and it was a huge hit. I got all sorts of fan mail about how awesome Chad is. So I thought, okay, I gotta keep this guy away from my show. I'm glad that you're here today.
Cool. I'm super happy to be here.
And thanks for filling in.
Of course.
You know, I have to say, Chad actually thought of our theme today.
I did.
Our theme is usually chosen by me and ignored by Leo.
Yes.
Until we sort of get going in the show.
It's a team effort this episode. It's kind of weird.
It's absolutely a team effort, which is, it's somewhat disconcerting.
Right.
Because I feel like I've lost all control. But this is real estate apps. And now this is something that real estate apps have been covered on iPad Today in some capacity, but certainly not in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even in the last 2 years. It's really been a while.
And this is, I love looking at buildings and dreaming. At the moment, definitely don't have enough money to save up for a house.
Yeah, me either.
It's just an outward dream. So this will definitely have the angle of, this is real estate for someone who's going to want to browse, to try to understand your market, to maybe you see a house that's for sale and you want to see good photos from inside that house because it's listed. This is kind of how you do those sorts of things.
All right. Yeah. So I'm also with you. I'm in no position to buy a home.
Yeah.
Probably ever. because I spend too much money on rent. It's wonderful. But I do like kind of just knowing what the market's doing. And there's a little bit of, ooh, what if I owned this house? What would I make this living room look like? What would I cook in this kitchen? So there's a little bit of just kind of fun. Yeah. Like there's almost like a fantasy element.
A totally fantasy element. It's like if 3 million dollars dropped into my lap and I wanted to buy the most expensive house in Petaluma, what could I do?
Sometimes not much.
We have a $1.1 million house that I saw, you know, just browsing around this morning. So my first app that I wanted to show off is called HomeSnap.
Okay.
HomeSnap takes the angle. It has not only a really good back-end app, but there is a small gimmick to it. And the gimmick is, if you're standing in front of a house that you want to know more about, you could just take out your iPad and take a photo of it. So up here in the corner, there's a little photo camera icon, and it flips around, and then you're able to take a photo of the house. Now, okay. You might think, wow, this is using amazing optical sensors and blah. It's really just pulling a GPS location off of you and can tell where you're pointing. So I think that if I just go ahead and snap, no, see, it's waiting for a device. So one thing that you can do is up in the corner, and it's really hard to tell because of how transparent. And this is an iOS 7 native app or compatible app.
Okay.
It says stealth. So you could hit the stealth button, and then basically it just uses your location to try to find homes near you. So
now, why would you do that though? Because you don't want to take a picture of a house?
Well, so like for me, I'm not actually standing in front of a house.
Yeah.
I'm just near homes.
Okay.
Or you don't want to be seen taking photos of people's
seeming
homes.
Seeming strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it
owner
seems like
occupied or something.
It seems like this photo taking ability seems almost Foursquare-ish,
uh-huh.
Where it's a way for them to get data into their app. So if you stand in front of a home and take a picture of that home, now they have a picture of the home and a location from where that picture is. And they know that it's about real estate,
uh-huh.
Not about, you know, the dog that's walking by or whatever. And so that's what it feels like, because taking a photo of a home is not necessary to get your GPS location. So that's the sort of gimmick of this app. But on the back end, this is a very, very full-featured app with lots of extra features. First, you can take your map and zoom out. Let me zoom out to most of Petaluma here so we can get a wider selection of things. And then you hit this button down here to get your list. So you can see this is the $1.1 million home. That I was looking at earlier. This is a home listing page, and it's very nicely formatted. Once again, iOS 7 is all throughout. It has how many days or months this has been on the market, who you could talk to if you wanted to get a tour, some of the details, and even a map which shows the lot. So it even shows an outline.
Oh, that's cool.
Of what. So this is on a cul-de-sac. It has a huge backyard. It looks like it's next to like an old folks home or something. I don't know what that is. but yeah, so there's that, and you could have map or satellite view. And then there's also similar homes. Now at the top.
Oh, okay. So if you're like, my budget is somewhere around $1 million,
right.
What else could I get?
Exactly.
Well, they all look lovely.
Yeah, they all, and this. It's funny, and just in an aside, there's some dude who takes real estate photos with crazy HDR in Petaluma, and you can always tell that they got this.
Is it Trey Ratcliffe?
That would be quite funny. And sometimes it's just not needed. So at the top, I kind of went through the details. At the top of the page, you have photos, so you can get a really nice gallery of everything.
Oh, this is really nice.
One thing I dislike about this is you cannot swipe to the next photo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little unintuitive.
Which is really weird, so you have to close out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at
all.
In
general, though, it's got everything you need.
Yeah.
Right?
And when you, well, when I did this at home, so far, every single time I've gone in the landscape, it actually makes the icons larger, which really, these are so big and so detailed that I tend to just not go into a photo unless if I really need to. And MLS, which is the home listing service, typically has really processed photos, and so you don't. There you go. See, now it's kind of worked its way. It seems like maybe just because of this was the iOS 7 release that there's a few bugs that they need to work out. But that is home snap real estate. And
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, what about, we've got a few apps that you pulled from Zillow, which is a very well-known real estate brand.
Right.
Zillow's been doing apps for a while, and we have talked about one Zillow app. It's sort of the main home listing app on this show before.
Right.
We've got a few. They break out a few of them into specific apps.
They have. In fact, I think they have five apps at the moment. I have four downloaded on my iPad at the moment. Zillow is the mainstay, and so I'm not going to cover it very much. Some of the nice features that Zillow offers are you can draw with your finger around an area. So if you know of neighborhoods that you want, mm-hmm. you can click the little draw button, and you can just say, I really just want
that like that's
area.
The school district I'm interested
right.
in.
Right, and then you hit apply, and then it works within that area.
Cool.
Which is nice, and it also has really good filter tools. Now, so that's just Zillow, the main app. I don't want to cover it too much because, yeah, like you said, we covered it. They have a rentals app, which is basically the normal app, but just stripped out all the homes, and everything is kind of in a different place. This seems kind of like a weird solution. Your filters, instead of having a filter button, you have to hit these two arrows, which is really unintuitive to get to all your filters. But there's that. But that's not really what I want to cover. I want to cover a mortgage calculator that Zillow offers.
Okay.
And this is actually really nice. This is for people who, like me, who kind of need a goal to aim for if you're going to start saving. This has a whole bunch of stuff. So first it has calculators. It has three different types of calculators. It has a monthly payment calculator where what you do is you set the home price that you're looking for. So right now this is its default. So let's just go up because I was looking at homes earlier and it looked like, you know, in the $400,000 range was normal. The down payment that I'd put in at 4.1 is just ridiculous. More like 20% is what I really need. So let me just type in 20. Oops, clear that out. 20%. Yeah, there we go. And then at a rate of 4.066, which if you went back to the main page, it'll let you know what today's average rate would be at that you could probably get. So let's just use that for default. So it's letting me know that with a 20% down payment on a home that cost close to $500,000, it'd be $2,100.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Now I'm saying that because that seems so cheap to me for a mortgage.
Yes.
But that's just because I'm used to San Francisco where everybody pays an arm and a leg for
very expensive
little dumps in the city. I should be a homeowner.
You should out here in wonderful Petaluma.
If only I could find 20% of a down payment at $400,000, I would be one.
That's the problem. And this does some nice things. It calculates taxes. So over here, it'll show, you know, don't forget about your taxes, and it gives you a little bit of information if you want to know about it. It also does homeowners insurance if you want to be insured with your home. And you even have an advanced section where you can add a lot more extra things. Like let's say you don't want a 30-year fixed rate. You feel like you can handle a 15-year fixed rate. You can do that. The property taxes percent, so if you know that in your area. How much you want to pay in homeowners insurance per year, the mortgage interest, and then homeowners association dues, which makes a lot of sense because if you plan on being in a area that has homeowners associations, I'm actually not familiar with how much this costs, so I just plugged in $60. It could be a much more a month, but I'm not sure. Okay, so the next calculator available is affordability. And what this does is it takes whatever your annual income is. So let's say that you're making $56,000 a year. You have some money in the bank, but you really only have, let's choose $20,000. And I'm just using pretty arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
And your monthly debt, let's say you have a car payment. And it's cool. You actually have a full range. So let's say you had some student loans that you know you're paying off, and that's about $300 a month. You got to pay for those auto loans, which is another $200. And of course, you got to pay that child support. So that's what, $500?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm so just asking out loud. And so it can say what it suspects, with the AP, the percentage rate, income taxes, and the extra things underneath details. And it says what your estimated budget is for what you should be spending in mortgage. And so you can see, you know, this is your other debts that you plugged in, how much money it is estimating that you should have just to live, and your income tax is coming out of your check every month. So that's the affordability calculator. So if you want to figure out how much you could afford with a thing. Next is refinancing. I got to be honest, I kind of don't understand this panel because I've never tried to refinance.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think anybody who's in the...
Yeah.
Whether you already own a home or you're interested in just how that sort of thing works. What's nice about a calculator like this is... You're incorporating all of your other monthly payments or just stuff that you know you're going to have to factor into what the cost of a house would be anyway. And it just gives you it's almost like a budgeting tool for yourself.
It gives you a really good foundation to know what you can look at if you're really serious.
Right.
And many times what happens is I look at this and realize I'm not serious and then keep dreaming. So there, that's that for you. Two more sections really quick. You have pre-approval where you can try to get pre-approved for a loan, and you can also shop for rates. So let's say you've gotten a little bit more in-depth. You can go in here and decide where you are, the purchase price that you have, a down payment, your credit score, your annual income, you know, to be whatever, and your monthly debts, which is pulled from earlier. And you can submit this, and it will actually go out to the internet and pull rates for you and allow you to contact these people with rates. This is sort of how Zillow makes their money, is they use this service so that the rest of Zillow is free, and they hopefully will get a portion of this. So this is really where Zillow's making their money, and that's one of the reasons it's kind of such a nice app. The other cool thing is once you've done all that, you can hit sort, and you can sort by the APR, or what's kind of cool is the cheapest after 30 years. So it'll say in 30 years' time, this is going to be the absolute least expensive thing for you, and you can click that. See about the seller, some reviews, and then contact the lender if you want to. So that is one of the Zillow apps. And then finally, in the family of Zillow apps, let's do Zillow Digs, which is just fun to look at. What happens here is Zillow has photos from lots and lots of different homes. And
yeah, so, they've got a big database of stuff.
Right, they have a huge database. So this is basically photos of
house
really
porn.
Cool... It really is. It's house porn, basically.
What's that thing in the middle? Like, that's bathroom porn.
Yeah. Oh,
love
no.
Love it.
There you go.
Does it get bigger? Can you make it bigger?
Yeah, you can. In fact, I'm in a weird dig mode. I want to go to... here, let's go to My Digs... Oh, browse. Browse is what I was in before. This is a feed, so if you're following people, and then you can quickly go through. Browse is where I was before. So let's say you're thinking about remodeling your bathroom. You can click bathroom and see tons and tons of bathrooms.
Yeah.
You can click into one, and it becomes big. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you finally found.
Look at all that counter space.
Oh yeah. And then it even shows similar images below. So let's say I love this.
Brian!
Oh, man, look at that.
That was Brian. That's not actually a feature of the app.
Yeah, no, it doesn't actually censor.
Some technical director's getting fired.
And so you can save this with the little heart up, and you hit save. And now that's been added to the My Dig section of the app, where you can go back and see. I love looking. Apparently, pools is what I love.
Hey, I mean, who
like.
Who wouldn't want a nice swim-up bar in their pool,
oh my gosh,
in their yard? We should all have something like that.
And
quality of life, people.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. Oh, oh. So this is Zillow Digs. It's really simple, but truly, this is almost all of what I really want in a home browsing situation. And just to go through the things you have spaces, and then you even have more spaces. So let's say you're looking for that perfect gym or the pantry. You really want a great pantry. You can do that. You can go into styles. You can even go into costs. So let's say you're looking for something budget. There you go. This is the Costco aisle that someone, you know, added to Zillow Digs. And you can also go for colors if you're aiming for a specific
swap. So this is a little bit of like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had a pool bar? But also, I just want a little inspiration.
Absolutely.
For something that I might be putting together. You know, that actually reminds me of Houzz. I don't know
Houzz?
If you... Houzz? It's a great iPad app. Leo and I have talked about it before. In fact, it's been one of my app caps in the past, where it's mostly focused on products that would be inside your home rather than the home itself. But it works on a lot of, like, interior designs and... for example, I've been looking at new television consoles. I'm using a bookcase for mine right now, and I want something that's like a little bit more professional. I saw this one. Of course, it's too expensive, but this is something that, you know, I can save, add it to my little idea book.
And then, you can follow through and buy these products?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's one of the nicest things. Tom Merritt is emailing me right now, so there we go, save.
You have a meeting later.
Yeah, apparently I do. But yeah, you can go in and look at photos of, for example, you know, we were talking about bathrooms earlier, same type of a deal. So you see stuff where you're like, ooh, that looks good in that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little bit like Zillow. And in fact, I would argue that this, I don't know which app came first. Mm-hmm. This is probably a little bit more on the side of, yes, buy the product. If you can see here, I'm like, I like that leather couch.
There's even an iRobot logo up in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that's for iRobot.
Oh, I guess that was an ad.
Yeah.
But same idea. And then sometimes, yeah, you see this Jupiter chandelier above the bathtub. Wouldn't that be nice? It's only $400. Let's get more information. You can go to the store and figure out where it came from. Maybe there's a lighting store in my area type of a thing. So,
yeah.
Oh, Z Gallery. There you go. I know where there's a Z Gallery in the city. So I could go and buy that if I wanted to.
Perfect.
Not really a chandelier person, but if I was.
I mean, so, yeah, it's only $400.
It's only $400. I mean, everybody needs light, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, man. So what's the last in our little real estate roundup
of ours? So last is more for me, like for someone who's actually looking for a place to live instead of just a place to dream about, and that's PadMapper. PadMapper has been a service on, and I keep telling people about PadMapper, but it seems like every single time I do, people go, "What? This is the best thing ever!" It goes through Craigslist and a few other services and pulls information down and then kind of displays it on a nice map for you to look and browse around. On the web, it does have more features than this iPad app. It has extra features like deciding how far you need to drive in to get to work, and then it can draw a little map around that location. The iPad app is a little bit more basic. Basically, you have all the filters that you would want, and then you can click in to any of these pins, and it will show you what the ad is. And then if you want to know more information, you can, of course, scroll around. If you want to know more information, you can hit the original listing, and it'll load up sort of a web page within PadMapper. This is nice because it's not just the professional listings. So because anyone can post to Craigslist, anyone can add their ad to PadMapper. I've been having some issues loading images, but anyway, that's basically it.
You know, do you remember when Craigslist tried to get PadMapper? Yeah.
Tried to kill him. So
yeah.
There's been a lot going back and forth between Craigslist saying that PadMapper is against their terms of service and blocking them, and then PadMapper used a caching service that wasn't their own and got it back, and they're going through legal troubles. I have still seen Craigslist ads on PadMapper, so they're still using some way to scrape through. They've also started their own service. So if you want to put up an ad that's only on PadMapper, you can go to PadMapper and do it. They also are now partnering with extra companies like Rent.com and stuff like that,
so that
they're not only reliant on Craigslist only moving forward.
I love the idea of this, especially if you're going to move to an unfamiliar city. I mean, the city I live in, I know really well. It's like, I don't really need to see San Francisco as a map because I know what neighborhood is what, and you can filter that way. But what if I was moving to Austin? You've lived in Austin.
Yes.
I don't really know any of the neighborhoods, and it would be helpful to remind myself, oh, yeah, that neighborhood is really adjacent to downtown. I like that one.
Yes.
So
yes.
In that case, something like PadMapper, particularly on the iPad, works really well.
Yes. And what I like to use this with is in conjunction with the website, because the website has a lot more features. It has walk scores. It has has the transportation stuff like I talked about before. It has a few other features that the app doesn't have. Brian's on it right now. And the app is kind of a way for me to, if I'm out and about, check back in on what I've been looking at and see if maybe something else has popped up in an area that I didn't know about before. It's kind of a practical thing for home real estate gigs.
I love this. So we've got HomeSnap, we've got several apps from Zillow, the general real estate, a mortgage calculator and mortgage rates by Zillow, sort of a fun fantasy home app by Zillow called Digs, Pad Mapper, and then I even threw in House, H-O-U-Z-Z, which is, if we're talking about houses, you might as well see what, like, really rich people use for interior decorating in that genre. But these are great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. You, like, did the first part of the show all on your own. I just kind of sat here and went,
You were like, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I should do that more often.
Happy to.
Yeah.
To.
How do I make Leo actually do research?
Sure.
That's difficult. No, it's fine. It's kind of, we're sharing the love. So thank you. And if you saw anything in the last few minutes and you're like, oh, wait, what did Chad say? I kind of forget that one thing. Don't worry, because we have all the links in our show notes to all the apps and the news and the tricks and all that good stuff that we talk about. So go to twit.tv/IPT. Had to think about that for a second. And yeah, at any of our show episode pages, we've got our show notes there. You just click into whatever. And then, that was a fun one. Yes, Timeline Civil War. Look at us. We were so happy then. I haven't worn that shirt in a while.
Back when the old TV was on the set.
Exactly. And Leo and my app caps, everything. You know, you've got the video right there. For some reason, you had missed it. But thanks to everybody who watches us live. For those who don't, you know you can watch us on demand. But if you want to watch us live, reminder that we record this show on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And if you ever have app ideas or just feedback for us, you can always write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. All right, should we take a little moment to thank our friends at Citrix for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today? I think we should. GoToMeeting by Citrix is, well, it's perfect for all of us at Twit, but it's going to be perfect for you as well, because I bet everybody who's watching and listening says, yes, I understand that when you've got somebody right in front of you and you're trying to make a point or you're trying to share some sort of a thought or idea, it's always easier than if they're remote and you're trying to explain it over the phone or you're doing sort of a back and forth via email, and that just gets very, very annoying. Sometimes you just have to get everybody in one room and talk it out. You know, it's a regular traditional meeting style. Well, the way the world works these days, we just can't all be in the same place at the same time. So GoToMeeting by Citrix helps you and your team or your clients or your friends or whoever share not only each other's faces with HD faces, but your screens. Let's say you're walking your team through some sort of a presentation. Everybody can see what's on your computer screen with GoToMeetings. You can launch or join a meeting using your computer, using your mobile device, using your tablet, your iPad. It's really, really easy. In fact, you can even present from your iPad. If you're one of those people who's like, my iPad is pretty much my solo computer, or certainly the one that I use when I'm on the go or when I'm traveling, you can present from your iPad and your team is just going to be like, wow, you really know what you're doing. Yeah, we love GoToMeeting because you can use it to get work done. If you're in the office and somebody is remote, maybe you've got a client in another country or they just can't come to your meeting room, whether you're at home, you're getting stuff done at home. A lot of us here at Twit, I mean, the work never stops. We're working from home constantly. Or again, if you're traveling, GoToMeeting mobile apps really makes it easy to make sure that you're all in the meeting together. Everybody sees each other. You've got those visual cues. You've got that body language. You see people nodding. You see people laughing. It's just really the way to conduct meetings. In this day and age, GoToMeeting is an absolute must, especially if everybody cannot all be in the same place at the same time. It just makes your life a lot more flexible. So we'd like you to try GoToMeeting totally free, 30 days. You can go to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and then use the promo code iPad. It's really, really easy. GoToMeeting.com. There's a big old try it free button. Click that and then enter the promo code iPad to try out GoToMeeting free for 30 days. It's a wonderful product. We love our friends at Citrix. Go to meeting.com, promo code iPad. Meeting is believing. And thanks to our friends at Citrix for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. So there's quite a bit that's happened in iPad land, mm-hmm. iOS land, yeah. Apple land, since I was last here anyway. And I thought we'd talk about just some of this stuff. The first story, I probably shouldn't laugh, but you almost kind of have to, is actually, you know, before we even get into this, mm-hmm. how do you feel about iOS 7 on your iPad? Because I haven't asked you that yet.
I gotta say, this swooshing around, even though it seems so stupid for me to be upset about it, I kind of don't
now,
love
are,
that.
Are you with Leo where you find that it makes you feel a little sick? That it's messing with your equilibrium?
I didn't feel that way until someone said that, and then yeah. I was like, what do I feel? Whoa. You know, like, not really. Other than that, I do enjoy it. Once I got used to everything, like, Spotlight is right there instead of over onto the side. I feel like it's basically the same thing. There's a few issues that a lot of times buttons, sometimes I can't tell when they're clickable and when they're not. So if I go over to the update area, I originally thought that this update all button was just like a here are the things that we can update, and it wasn't an actual button. So sometimes I get frustrated with that. But other than that, I would say that this has been a pretty fine transition for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I think I have noticed, and in the last 2 weeks on the show, since I installed iOS 7 on my iPad, I have had a couple of live crashes, you know, not even anything yeah. I was trying to do for demonstration purposes. So it is somewhat buggy, I have noticed, and a little laggy in places. But in general, I'm with you. I absolutely love iOS 7 on my iPhone.
I have gotten some lag. Because I'm running the third generation iPad, I don't know if I can do that right now.
Yeah. Or sometimes it kind of hesitates a little bit on you.
Yeah.
I have noticed that as well, and I think we're probably maybe more power users than the average person because we just test so much stuff. But yeah. that is something I think is worth passing along. But this particular story is an iOS 7 complaint that is particular to schools. There are a variety of school districts. This one that is quoted at All Things D in this article says, the Manitou Springs School District, which is in Colorado, says that they have a number of iPads that students are using, right? This is a common thing. It's more and more widespread in lots of school districts that kids get iPads, but in most cases, there's some sort of restriction that's turned on or an extra layer for the school district so that the kids aren't just, you know, accessing all of these tools and internet tools that is not for school. So that was all fine and good until iOS 7 apparently broke some restrictions that were in place. And it took the school districts a while to figure out that, oh, whoopsie, now, you
now
know,
the kids
everybody's,
have free reign to do
yeah, the
such
kids,
and such.
Kids have free reign. And, of course, depending on the age of the child or the class that the kid's in or what the school curriculum is all about, obviously the needs of the schools will vary quite a bit. But iOS 7 has, it seems like it defaults quite a bit of things back to factory settings. Mm-hmm. I've noticed this in a lot of my apps where I'm like, why do I got to log into this whole thing again? It yeah. kind of acts like I was never here before. But this is probably something that nobody really thought about
yeah.
beforehand.
Yeah, and so they had to do almost like a cleanup sort yeah. of situation where they gathered back all the iPads and had to wipe them because they were worried about what the kids had on their iPads.
Exactly. According to some support forums over at Apple.com and some IT discussion boards, it sounds like this is a very widespread issue. All the schools, you know, everybody's chiming in saying, oh, us too, what a headache.
Yeah.
Our poor IT managers were wiping iPads all weekend.
I'm surprised that they didn't figure this out because I remember when downloading iOS 7, there's a long chunk of when it is getting ready that it says preparing your iPad
yeah.
for iOS 7. And it seems like what it's doing is saving files and moving them around and converting from one form to another. I'm surprised that they didn't have an exact one-to-one move over and that there was data lost. It
yeah.
seems like Apple's really good about it's the exact same experience, especially when upgrading OSs on the desktop.
Well, are they, though? Are they always so perfect at everything?
You're right. I mean,
now,
there's definitely been app issues.
I love Apple, obviously. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's, yes. This is these sorts of things happen. I mean, you even get people who say nobody should have installed iOS 7 yet, particularly on the iPad, because there are just bumps in the road and we're not going to wait that long.
It does make sense. I mean, this is a huge transition. I mean, this is huge. This is so amazingly large. It's hard to fathom how big of an upgrade and transition this was.
A spokesperson at Apple, by the way, says the company is aware of this issue and will have a fix this month. Mm-hmm. So that's great news.
And other than that, I mean, have we heard of many other iOS 7 mishaps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to talk about iMessage?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about iMessage.
Let's talk about iMessage. Speaking of mishaps, because I have been always extremely vocal that I think iMessage is a crap product.
I agree.
Hate it. Not because I don't like texting and messaging, and I understand that in a perfect world it works fine. If I was only messaging on one device,
yes.
So it was my iPad was the only way that you and I texted each other, it would work fine. But that's not the way it works. It doesn't. It does not.
No one has only one device that they work on nowadays.
Right, and iMessage on your computer.
Yes,
I have iMessage set up with my desktop, my laptop, my primary laptop, my iPad, and my iPhone. And I want all of my messages to show up on all devices because I don't want to
miss
anything.
Every single time. There cannot be any inconsistency, too.
And there always is.
There always is inconsistency.
There's always, you know, I'll go to my desktop after being away for 7 hours. Somebody messaged me a long time ago, and I'm like, I am so sorry. I was sitting somewhere else. Ah! And it makes me seem like I'm avoiding people,
yes.
And that's just the worst. Well, okay, go ahead.
Just one more is you'd log in on your desktop and I'd see messages that were 6 months old.
Horrible.
Like, well, like it's like, why am I looking at these? I've had long conversations with people after I talked to them about that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like if you're using the same iCloud account for all of your devices, you've got your number, a variety of email addresses, everything set up with every box appropriately checked, exactly the same on all of your devices. There should not be inconsistency.
Yeah.
And there always is.
Yes.
It makes me crazy.
So what's going on now?
Now it's even worse because iOS 7 has broken iMessage completely. So you might be on one side or the other of this. You may be like, boy, that really cute girl that I just thought we had a connection, I messaged her a few times and she's totally ignoring me. She might be ignoring you, but she might also just have broken iMessage because she upgraded to iOS 7. It is a known issue.
When you're
Apple
at the club,
is issuing a fix.
Make sure you ask. You run an iOS 7 or are you on iOS 6?
But then it's like they can say, yeah, I'm on iOS 7.
Oh, sorry, it was iOS 7.
Yeah. It's a great excuse,
it's
right?
It's a great excuse.
If you've been avoiding somebody, now you've got your alibi.
Mm-hmm. Just link them to the story and then just go, look what's happened to me.
This really did this. I have not found, to my knowledge, there haven't been texts that I've sent that ended up not getting to somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like everything's been getting through. I'm getting my replies. But the other day, I was somewhere and all of a sudden it was like, I saw all these texts from somebody and I'm reading them and it's like, why is he talking about Monday? And then I realized, oh, they came in a big... Like, he texted me, you know, just here and there over the course
Tuesday.
Of a few days, thinking that I was just like,
oh,
screw you. And, yeah, it was much later in the week.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah,
no.
So it's a real problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I mean, it's almost, as a quick aside, Google isn't doing that much better either. Hangouts started messaging, sending not only just not sending your messages, but sending them to the wrong recipients. And that happened to me.
What?
Yeah. So I was having a conversation with a friend, and then I opened up Google Plus because people were saying that they were getting messages from me, and I was sending them to a Hangout and not my individual friend. And and Google confirmed that that was an issue that they had, and they fixed it.
Well.
Messages. Just don't send messages, folks. That's the story. That's the moral of this story.
Well, that's the thing is that, sure, this is a temporary issue. There will be a fix. It's not the end of the world. But when it comes to communication, especially something like texting, that is the primary way that I talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's either texting or it's email and we're all busy. And I mean, I do that all day, every day. And for anything to just sort of get lost in the ether, it can completely muck up a whole conversation. It might have to do with work or personal stuff. People get mad.
Yeah.
People get their feelings hurt. It's actually quite a big deal. Yeah. That should just not happen.
Yeah.
I see a few people in chat, by the way, saying iMessage works perfectly. I don't know why it works perfectly for some people and not others. I would love to be one of those people.
And it might be power
users. But it never
has. I mean, because, yeah, I'm like you where I have multiple emails assigned to one iMessage account. And it seems like sometimes if I log in with one, it doesn't pull the others. It doesn't go, oh, this is associated with these other numbers and stuff. And I have to manually say, okay, yes, I'm also this, I'm also this, I'm also this, and I'm also this. It just seems like an inconsistent, broken product.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, some people are saying that if you have iMessage issues, it's a carrier issue, not a program issue.
It's not true. It's not true because I don't have a carrier.
You don't have to use your phone. You know, you can route it through your iCloud email.
Yeah. No. And that's true. I don't have an iPhone. I have an iPad and a Mac.
Right.
And so I'm in the same issue.
So that just isn't the case. Hey, so there was a great article over at TechCrunch. Well, I say great article because it had a great headline. It sounds like it's doomsday for anybody who wants to make money off an app. The headline is, it's over for paid apps, with a few exceptions. Well, when you read the article, it's not so much that paid apps aren't working. It's that the trend really has swung wildly to offer the app for free, then allow an experience that somebody can enjoy for free, but then you've got in-app purchases. Leo and I talk about this all the time where, you know, half the time it really annoys us because something seems free and then you start to like it and then you realize, oh, to continue to like this game or this product, you actually have to buy filters or buy virtual currency or that sort of thing. But it also works really well because there's no barrier to entry. You can at least, it's almost like try before you buy a little bit. Yeah. Like, do I like Candy Crush enough to end up plunking down some money?
Yeah, and there's a few issues that the article associates with this. One is that there's no way to do a trial version of an app on the App Store.
Right.
There's also no way to upgrade. So if you want to add extra features to your app, the only way to do it is with in-app purchases. And I agree with all of that. On top of that, I think, you know, I've heard both you and Leo complain about in-app purchases and that freemium model of, mm-hmm. yeah, it's free, but if you really want it, you gotta pay. And I kind of want to defend that model because to a lot of people, they are still getting a free app. I know my father is the perfect example of this. He is freaked out about Apple in general.
Why?
That's just how. Anytime he has to enter a password to anything, he's like, I better be like he. It's like he's giving them his social security number. Like,
I see.
He really does not like that. So he's still one of the people that has an Apple ID that has not associated a credit card with Apple.
Okay.
And because of that. He can still, and I'm sure there's other economic issues. Maybe you don't have a credit card. Maybe you don't have enough money to really be spending on apps. It allows you to get apps for free and experience the app, and then there's these pro features. The app isn't broken. It's actually quite a nice experience to have an app that needs to be upgraded. So that's sort of my defense of the freemium model is that there's lots of people who the only way that they can get an app is if it's for free. And the moment that you put any price on it, even if it's 1 cent, it's out of their price range. So I kind of like that. I mean, getting back to is the future of almost all apps free? I think it's always up to the app maker to find a good business model for their app. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there is definitely a clientele like me and you who want to pay one price and not worry about it again.
Yeah.
I want to buy it once.
That's right.
And then have a perfect experience that's never bothering me to spend more money. And there's never going to be a moment that I think that those apps won't exist because people want it that way.
Totally. And I think that there are some in-app purchasing models that work really well. For example, Hipstamatic. I love Hipstamatic. I know I'm one of like three people, but I really love that app. And every once in a while, Hipstamatic says, hey, we've got a new camera pack. Do do you want to buy the camera pack for $199? And I'll look through it, and I don't always buy them, but sometimes I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I really like the way that these photo filters end up making photos look. I'll download selectively. I'll install selectively. With a game, you can say, you know, I've been on a Tetris Blitz kick, and it's like, sometimes I don't want to pay anything, so I kind of just have to play more in order to keep at it. But sometimes I kind of want to skip ahead. It just sort of depends on my mood. So it is nice to have those options.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, often something seems too good to be true, and that's because it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really, really free.
I'm guilty of buying the stickers on Path, you know. And part of it was I like Path so much, I just kind of want to give this app company some money, and they're offering stickers at the moment. I'll just go ahead and buy some stickers for Pat.
Stickers for all.
Everyone gets stickers.
Everybody gets stickers.
I had Adventure Time stickers. How was I supposed to turn that down?
Yeah, I bought those too. And I don't even really like...
Yeah. I'm wearing an Adventure Time belt right now.
Yeah, look at you. Yeah. You certainly are.
I'm an Adventure Time fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was looking at your underwear for a second, but just a belt.
No, just a belt.
Just a belt.
Just a belt.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to, this is kind of neat, the design app Paper. Leo and I have talked about it. It's
another app within app purchases.
True, yes. It's not, well, I don't know if I'd call it a design app, although it's a freehand drawing app that is kind of been associated with people who have a lot of design and sketching talent. And the team at Moleskine, who make beautiful paper journals type thing, but they also have an app, they've teamed up so that you can actually print out something that you've digitally created in paper into sort of a Moleskine experience. And it's really quite lovely. If you go to 53.com/book, you get, I put it in our show notes, or in our doc. It's neat. It's $40. So for each book. So it's a little bit like, well, you know, make sure that you're really happy about the stuff that you've created. But if you are, and I've seen some beautiful, beautiful stuff, by the way, I think anybody who's wanting to make, yeah, they make these like incredible illustrations. I mean, this is like for like people who have extreme amount of talent. You can put something really nice together. And I mean, much like a wonderful picture that you take with your digital SLR, every once in a while, you got something that's nice enough that you think, is that your creation?
Yeah, I really want this in actual paper.
Gosh, it looks like Leo, doesn't it?
I wonder how many other people have booklets kind of like mine, where it's just like, this is the best creation I've ever made.
I think that's actually not terrible. It's kind of got an abstract thing, right?
And then I wonder how many other people's books look like this, where it's just their name over and over in different colors. Hello, Twit.
OMG. OMG Chad. OMG Chad Chad.
I've just, you know, just got to test it out again. Yeah.
Let's see. Now I'm curious to see what the last thing I sketched was. I know it's not good.
It's interesting because the Moleskine book is actually accordion style, just like the app. So if you open it up and you can kind of flip through. Oh, that's your... I was like, wow, that's really good. That's the demo.
Oh, yeah. This is how they tell me how to use this app.
Yeah.
Ha ha. No. Yeah. I want to... Where's mine?
Ideas. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. See, everyone has a book full of their name.
This is what it's like, give me, like, okay, I'm going to sketch something. I always draw a flower and a cloud. Sometimes even a tree.
It's a good
There's probably a tree in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, the first page is your mind doodle while showing off the app for the very first time.
And then there's this. Now, see, I could print that sucker out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I could see if you're an artist and you've put a lot of time into this app, that getting a physical copy of it that you could put on your coffee table or whatever is actually really nice. I think that's a cool proposition. And it's not inexpensive. It's, what was it, 40?
$40.
$40.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. It's, you know what, think of it as something that is a once-in-a-while gift.
Yeah.
Would be great. I mean, some people swear by it. Yeah, I added to my
creation. It's the lane. That's the Sarah Lane.
Since we were last here. Yeah.
It's a street.
It's asphalt.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tar on it as well.
Absolutely.
This is sort of my artistic impression of it. Good stuff, huh? But anyway, if you're interested, 53 spelled out, .com/book. Also, speaking of products, physical products, by accident, I was browsing Pinterest yesterday, which I've decided I'm now...
You didn't mean to. That was an accident.
No, I'm a Pinterest freak now.
Oh, okay.
It started like a month ago, and I love it. I'm on Pinterest all the time.
I don't know what
I
wanted.
I was late to the game. Do you?
There was a Christmas that I had to make wish lists, and I had to gather gifts.
Yeah.
And as I was looking at tons and tons of stuff, I was just like, every single one of these pages has a pin button. And to save all of these gift ideas, I just have to hit the pin button, and then it's saved on my pin board.
So perfect.
I started using Pinterest as well.
Okay, so...
Because it's on every page.
I love Pinterest. Yeah, and you can, you know, when I'm on my computer, I've got a little Chrome add-on, you know, it's pin it, so if there's not even a Pinterest button on a page. But I digress. I was on Pinterest. A friend of mine who's very much in the food scene, she's sort of a food entrepreneur. She's always coming up with really cool food-related products. Ended up pinning a link to a website called The Orange Chef. Hmm. And I thought, I was just kind of curious. Turns out that The Orange Chef makes products that are all iPad-related for the kitchen.
Oh, perfect.
So you've got an iPad stand that you can wash in the dishwasher, for example. You've got, what else? Let's go to the store here.
There's an iPad sleeve to keep your iPad
Exactly.
Clean.
You can get a 25-pack for about $20 that would basically, you can have your iPad in the line of fire. Let's say you're deep frying or something.
Yeah.
Well, if you're deep frying, you probably want something a little bit more industrial than plastic, but you know.
Or if
tomato
you have,
juice splatters
yeah.
or that sort of thing.
I always have stuff on my fingers,
oh, yeah.
and I want to move the iPad from one location to to another,
exactly.
and you can just pick it up. You don't have to worry about it.
A cutting board that's also an iPad stand. Hello. Add a little sleeve there. You got yourself a cutting board. The iPad's right there. I don't know about you, Chad, but I use my iPad for recipes constantly. I'm not so good at retaining recipe information, but I can follow a recipe.
Yeah.
So I have to have the iPad right there. I'm looking at it. What do I do next? What do I preheat the oven to? So it's always in my kitchen, but I'm always trying to put it somewhere where it's not too far away,
yeah.
but it's not close enough to my stove to be in the way
yeah.
or to be in danger of being damaged.
And I find that the smart cover isn't quite sturdy enough for
right.
my liking, especially in a kitchen.
Yes.
If I'm setting it on a table that I'm not too worried about it, but when it's next to things that could fall off a counter,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's sturdy enough in many cases.
Now, this is something, this is actually pretty expensive. Their prep pad, which is not available yet, but you can pre-order it. It's $150. It would be perfect for an episode of Before You Buy. I'll definitely see if Shannon can get one of these. What this is it sort of looks like an iPad with a cutting board on it, but it's a different product altogether. It is a combination of app that you run on your iPad and then physical. It's a scale.
Bluetooth scale, yeah.
Yeah. So you can, you know, if you're watching your portions or you're curious as to how, you know, with serving sizes and that sort of thing. You know, let's say you put 4 apples on the prep pad, it will easily be able to tell by the weight and the type of food it is, you know, how many calories that particular amount of apples would be, you know,
yeah.
before you cut the core out or whatever. So that's cool. I love that. Now, $150 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you were serious, not only about using your iPad in the kitchen, but all of that kind of food data. Some of us are just, I just like crunching those numbers.
It's Absolutely.
It's like a fitness thing.
Have you ever been used a calorie counter app?
I've done that,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And so it works with an app called Countertop, which stores all this data for you, and it uses Bluetooth Low Energy to talk with the iPad. This seems
yeah.
really cool.
Fun, huh?
Yeah, it seems really, really neat.
TheOrangeChef.com is the website. Just, you know, kind of check out their stuff. They're obviously iPad fanatics, and they like food as well. So what's not to like? I love you guys. And thanks to my friend Emily for sharing that link on Pinterest, because I wouldn't probably have come across it otherwise. Finally, Chad, did you realize that AirPlay streaming was not available via the Netflix app until, I don't know, today?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I guess assumed.
I never really tried.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because there's a Netflix app on an Apple TV.
Well, you know, maybe it did, but it was SD? Is that possible?
It's possible. Because now HD has come to the Netflix iPad app as well. So a couple cool things.
Yes.
You can watch in HD on your iPad, and you can AirPlay in beautiful HD to an Apple TV.
Right. And this works on iPhone. It can only go up to 720p. But if you're on an iPad like us, you can stream all the way in 1080. to your Apple TV.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's really nice.
I feel weird. When I read the story, I was like, I was not doing this whole time because I'm just so used to video
to
apps.
Thinking about it. It does. Yeah, sure. It can go out.
There was some sort of restraint that has been lifted. So if you're watching Netflix primarily on your iPad, that's great news.
That's right. Okay, so Mickle Pickle says you'd have to do airplane mirroring.
Uh-huh.
And that's true. I remember that.
Because so it's native bearing now.
It was, you'd see, because the iPad is at 4.3, you'd get weird letterboxing.
Oh, I hate that.
I remember doing that at people's houses and being like, why is this a weird resolution?
That's so strange. So that was something that was actually, I mean, it's like an app is kind of blocking the functionality because you can't really block airplane mirroring. Well, there's some work
on that. And it's funny, I wonder if this is a response to the Chromecast, because Chromecast, when it came out, it said you can do Netflix in HD, which hadn't happened yet.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe that Apple saw that and went, wait, what? Why can't our devices do that? And they worked with Netflix to get it to happen.
Well, I think it's wonderful news. I have a Netflix subscription. I pretty much got it to watch House of Cards.
Yeah.
Honestly. And now I'm just sort of there and I watched Orange is the New Black and this and that. But I don't spend a lot of time watching Netflix movies on my iPad. I'm not exactly sure why. I do spend a lot of time watching shows on Hulu Plus on my iPad. Yeah. Because there's usually, you know, they're shorter. Like when I go to the gym, it's like I'll watch an episode of Saturday Night Live and then I'm done. I go home. It works out really well. So anyway, Netflix folks, happy birthday. All right. Let's take a break, shall we? Before we get into some of your viewer feedback, which may or may not include Mickle Pickle, by the way. Before we get to that though, let's thank Slingbox for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. You've heard about the Slingbox on our show. Leo loves talking about the Slingbox 500 because it just looks so cool. You know, you've got built-in Wi-Fi, you've got HDMI connectivity, you have full HD 1080p functionality. That's the 350. Look at that 500. I just love we love the way it looks like it's kind of being twisted into something really awesome.
Looks like
just,
an art museum.
It does kind of look like a museum. It's, I don't know. I'd love to have that on the top of my little entertainment console, but with a combination of Slingbox and the Sling app, you can watch live high-definition television on your iPad, your smartphone, your laptop, some old tablet, anywhere that you have an internet connection. So think about that. You've got TV when you're at home. You've got your shows set up. You've got your DVR shows. You've got stuff that, you know, you've scheduled for yourself. It's all set up a certain way. With Slingbox, and then, of course, the Sling app to access your shows, you have the exact same experience no matter where you are, as long as you have an internet connection. This is not confusing, by the way. There are a lot of ways to kind of like sort of finagle your way into watching a TV show, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like borderline legal, and it's just messy, or you're mirroring something, and it kind of looks weird. Slingbox does away with all of that nonsense. With Slingbox, you're watching your home TV. So everything you can see at home, you can watch on your mobile device. You can watch your favorite shows anywhere you are. All you need is an internet connection. I mentioned travel, but hey, what if you're, you know, it's like the end of tomato season right now. You spend a lot of time in your backyard and you want to be able to have your TV right there. I mean, it's beautiful for that sort of thing. Maybe you're a handyman and you're in your garage all the time, or a handy lady. You don't have to buy any special programming packages. You have no monthly fees. Once you set up that Slingbox, and it's easy to do, you can access your Slingbox from anywhere. It is the perfect iPad companion. It really is. And each week, I feel like we get a bunch of emails and questions from people wanting to know what the best television solution is to be able to watch more TV on your iPad. Well, you've got some solutions, right? But nothing rivals Slingbox because it is exactly your home situation. Whatever cable you're paying for, whatever shows you like, you miss nothing. It's the exact same experience remotely when you're on the go. Never miss a show you want to watch in HD, by the way. This is no SD nonsense. It looks awesome. Get your Slingbox today. You can go into a Best Buy or an Amazon. Well, you can't go into an Amazon. You can sort of go into an Amazon. You can go to Amazon. Or check it out at slingbox.com/twit. Look around. Get an idea of which Slingbox is right for you. That Sling app is beautiful. We absolutely love Slingbox, and we thank them for supporting iPad Today. Okie dokie. Shall we? Do you want me to? How about this, Chad?
Uh-huh.
How about I explain this duh tip that Steve from New Hampshire wrote in about, and you
demonstrate it.
Can demonstrate, and we'll see if it's a good one.
Sounds
all right,
great.
So Steve says, if you're in Safari, this is an iOS 7 duh tip. He says, just swipe from the side of the screen to move backward or forward. He says, note that you do need to sort of start off on the outside of the screen. It's similar to the notification bar and control panel.
I think I need to get into a page, so let me go to, I don't know which page. Let's go to eBay. There we go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so if I've gone a few deep into an article.
Exactly. Right.
I can actually just right from the side get into, and I want to go to that. There we go.
There you go.
I want to open a new tab. Not what I wanted at all.
Just click links.
There we go.
Click a hyperlink.
There we go. So that's what I want to do. Oh, no, this is what I want to get. Let's get back to the main page.
Yay.
Wow, actually, that works really, really well.
That's
I haven't
nice,
done this
huh?
yet.
Which is, it's kind of fun, too, because you sort of start on that bezel.
Yeah.
In order to, because you don't want to confuse Safari into thinking that you're actually clicking on something that just happens to be near the edge of the screen. Which, this took me a while on Control Center, by the way. I found that at first, I was not actually swiping from low enough on my iPad.
Oh, yeah, to get up to.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
Yeah, because if you start kind of up higher, it just.
Right, it thinks that you're actually trying to move the page that you're on.
Yeah, but just aim for the bezel.
Exactly. Aim for the bezel. There you go. So that Notification Center works the same way. Works out great. I wonder how, when bezels inevitably get smaller on iPads, if this will become more annoying, or if we'll all just be so used to it at that point, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the two-finger swipe on Safari on the desktop. If you just swipe from the side, you can get everything you want.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So thanks, Steve. Wonderful duh tip. Also got another duh tip from Michael Anthony Bishop. That's a wonderful name. It sounds very regal. He says, I saw in the last episode, which was last week, episode 167, a viewer with a problem on the videos app showing everything that he's ever bought. I do remember this. Michael says, you can toggle that feature on and off. Hope it helps. The complaint was, in the videos app, you see a list of all the stuff that you've bought via iCloud, right? And he didn't want that. He had a lot of stuff in there. Just like pretty much any of the native apps, you know, the videos app is an iOS native app that Apple, it comes preloaded, right? If you scroll down to the videos app, which just got its own little area here, you've got some options like, do you want to start playing where you left off in the last video you were playing, or show all videos. That is on by default, but if you turn it off, only videos that have been downloaded to this device will be shown. So you either have the option of everything you've ever bought that's in iCloud and accessible, or just the ones that are already natively on this iPad so you don't get confused. Hopefully that helps. You can also see what your home sharing situation is as well, because if your home sharing, like for example, if your home sharing Apple ID on your Apple TV does not match your iPad, home sharing isn't going to work, so there has to be consistency between those two guys.
Looks like all I've bought on videos was Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least you're...
It's the only thing I've ever bought. It's just,
you're consistent.
It's just Adventure Time.
You just
Time.
Really
season
like Adventure
Season 2
Time.
And Season 4.
Yeah? Yeah. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I bought Orphan Black. Have you watched that show?
No.
It's kind of like a show about... It's sort of like a biotech science fiction show. It's a BBC show.
Huh.
Started off really strong. I think it's gotten really corny. It's too
Orphan
bad.
Black. It sounds like Orphan. A really depressing show.
Like, it's not. I wouldn't call it depressing.
Orphan.
It's sort of like a murder mystery
cop
show.
It's not depressing.
Sort of. I don't know. Anyway, it's just. I just thought I would go off the rails and give you my 2 cents on a show that nobody was talking about. All right, we got another duh tip. It's a duh tip heavy show, and thanks to everybody. Actually, I should thank Apple for making iOS 7, which makes a lot of things confusing, which makes duh tips stream in into our inbox. Sachin from India says, my duh tip is about Control Center. When you're playing music, any music, you'll see the information for that music in your Control Center. If you open up Control Center and then click on the name of the music, it will open up the app that is playing that music.
There it goes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yay.
So oh, that's great.
So in this case, you're just in, you're playing.
In iTunes.
Yeah, you're, so you're, iTunes Radio. It opens up your, what, your music app,
yep.
right?
Yep.
But I tried this earlier with, let's see, what was I last playing? I wasn't playing, let's go into my, I was playing something in Ardio earlier, so I'll go back and I'll play something. Come on now.
Or let's say sometimes you have those apps that are misbehaving. And
like,
yeah, kind of like Ardio. Mm-hmm, like but like, so I've done that with the Twit app a few times where I clicked something, I forgot that I was streaming it, left it, and then opened it up again, and I start hearing voices. And I was like, what is playing music? And
yeah.
this is perfect.
Super annoying. So let's say I'm like, okay, I'm listening to the song, but then I want to go do something else, and then I'm like, wait a
Work
second.
On your lane.
And then I say, wait, where? I want to go back to the Ardio app. So
perfect.
That's a little shortcut there. So you can sort of do the multitasking. You know, obviously you can control the music from here, but if you want to go back to where that music is originating from, even though this is not iTunes, this is Ardio, obviously iOS 7 is smart enough to know. Oh,
that's perfect if you want to switch playlists
yes.
or start something
it's
else.
It's a nice little shortcut, and that's a good one, because I don't think I would have thought to click on
you
the
remember
name.
Earlier when I was saying in iOS 7 there's sometimes stuff that I can't tell is clickable or not?
Yes.
Perfect example. How would you have ever known that was a button?
I don't know. Nothing about it seems button-like. It just
yeah.
looks like a title.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, we've got a great video. This one comes from Mickey, a.k.a. Mickle Pickle in chat. And I know that you're in chat today.
Oh.
Now, this is Mia, Mickle Pickle's cat. Her favorite app is something called Catch and Paint Games for Cats. Now, you can see it's a little bit of a combination. It's a virtual mouse. We've even got some sexy slow-mo action
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, I wonder if that's from the iPhone.
So you can see Mia, you know, work her magic. It's a combination of Catch the Mouse, but with her paws, she is at the same time creating an art project.
That is really cool.
Based on, yeah, where she touches the iPad. So every art project will be different. And she's, you know, she's really going for it. She's an
yeah.
artiste in a big, big way. And this is great. So, yeah, the mouse twirls around. Now, Mickey says she loves it so much she thinks the iPad is hers.
Oh, yeah.
She's obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah.
The app costs $1.99. So this isn't free. Obviously, this is working really well for Mia. I have had not as great success with my cats and sort of virtual mouse apps. My cats, maybe because they see me use my iPad so much, they're like, I know that that's not real. So they're, I don't know, they're into it for like a minute, and then they're never into it again. Chad, I don't know if your cats
my cat actually
are interested at all.
She is, and in fact, I'm looking for a video right now on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
Because she got really into it on her iPad.
Now, Mickey, a.k.a. Mickle Pickle, whatever you want to go by, Mickey, he says they're keeping Mia's claws trimmed so that the iPad stays safe.
Nice.
But also, they turn on guided access for her.
That's great.
And so that way, she's not swiping down in the notification center or changing some settings in the control center by accident. So
this is my cat.
Oh, that's your cat.
Yep. And
there you go.
She totally. And in fact, it's funny. She does. You notice she's in one app at the moment. And then she will do a three-finger swipe to get her into the other app, which happened to also be another cat app, which she just did right there. She has perfected the three-finger swipe to switch apps. And so now she's playing a different cat app.
Oh, my gosh, that's so adorable.
Yeah.
Mickey says, the only thing about Catch and Paint Games for Cats, which is, again, $2, pretty fun, is that I guess with iOS 7, the app is not natively saving the artwork that your cat is painting.
Aww.
Because sometimes you'd want to save that.
Yeah.
But he says he hopes that they will update it soon. Yeah, it's probably on the horizon. You can put, you know, your cat's creations on your fridge, you know, like kids. But cats.
Yeah.
You know that book, Why Cats Paint.
I actually have looked at that book, and I could never get my cat to paint, no matter
no.
how hard I tried.
I still don't know if that's a joke or if that's a real thing.
Like, that might be the biggest troll ever.
I don't know.
That's so weird, because I learned from that book that cats
yeah.
don't have an inner ear, because one time they painted a painting upside down because she saw the thing upside down.
Right.
Do you really think that's a troll?
I don't know. I think I've read somewhere that someone was like, that's not really what's going on.
That's
I don't know.
Real.
I have no idea. But this is sort of like that
yeah.
for the iPad generation.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to hear from you guys. Love your duh tips. Love your videos. Love your questions and comments. Helps us build our show every week. Absolutely. You are the most A++ viewers and listeners a twit could ever have. We want to hear from you via email, iPadToday@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail if you'd like at 757-504-IPAD. You can send us a video like Mickey did. Hello, Mia, by the way. You are obviously very cute and a good painter. Videos are very appreciated. It doesn't have to be your cat, by the way. It could be a question that you have for us, or maybe you think that you are pretty good at demoing an app or something like that. Anything. That would be awesome. Upload the video somewhere and send us the link. YouTube works fine, but there are other places as well. All right, Chad, you are on deck for a great, great app cap.
I am. I'm very
get
excited.
Yourself ready. And while you're doing that, I would like to take a moment to thank Gazelle. They're our third sponsor of this episode of iPad Today. We love Gazelle. I just bought a new iPhone. It was pretty expensive. I don't need my iPhone 5 anymore because I only need just the one. Well, it's not doing me any good just sitting in my junk drawer. I could, you know, there are places that you can sell it, but nobody really gives you a rate as good as Gazelle. Gazelle.com wants to buy your used iPhone or your used iPad or your used gadget. It could be all sorts of gadgets. You know, maybe you've got an iPad, but you were previously using a tablet that just wasn't right for you. Whatever it is, if you're not using it, you might as well get some money. Go to Gazelle, that's Gazelle.com. And you just enter your item. You might, you know, let's say you got that iPhone 5. You say, I've got the iPhone 5. Here was the carrier it's on. It's a little dinged up in the bottom left-hand corner. Just be honest about it. And they'll tell you what offer that they'll give for you. And what's neat is that they will lock in that offer. It's good for 30 days, which gives you time to transfer your data or set up your new device and not worry about after you get your quote, all of a sudden, the cost of your iPhone or your iPad or gadget plummeting. They'll lock in that offer that's good for 30 days. Now, you send a Gazelle your gadget. They get it. They'll wipe it if you want. If you're sort of just like, I just want to make sure that there's nothing on there. You know, the battery will be recycled responsibly if it's you know not really worth anything. All that good stuff. And then you get paid fast by check. By PayPal, if that works for you, that's probably what I would choose, or for an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. That's awesome. If you like Amazon, makes perfect sense to go that route. It's trustworthy, too. Gazelle is not only a really well-known company, but has paid over $100 million to over 600,000 customers. So this is a lot of happy people. There's just no reason to hold on to gadgets that, let's be honest, you're just never going to use again. Put that money towards what you really want. Free shipping, by the way, on a variety of devices, iPhones, iPads, Samsung Galaxy S3. I mean, you know, you just anything. What is your device worth? Take a minute, go to Gazelle to find out. And remember, do it now because you don't want your stuff to lose value before Gazelle locks in that 30-day offer for you. Again, gazelle.com. Sell your gadgets the fast and simple way. And we thank Gazelle for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today.
Okay, Sarah, we have a question we have to answer.
All right.
First, is it a boy or is it a girl?
Well.
Is the child? No, nah, it's.
This is an awkward position you're putting me in here. I think I'm just going to be a leprechaun and plead the fifth.
I can do both.
There you go.
There we go.
You know, last week, Shannon was a pretty princess.
Uh-huh. Oh, is this her hat?
It was,
oh,
but
okay.
She was also wearing a horse head, so it was a whole different thing.
So we've been double app caps.
It's gotten a little weird since
okay.
Leo's been gone.
Like the blue hat.
Thank goodness he'll be back next Thursday, or, you know, we will all just be, you know, running around with potato sacks and forgetting
that guy's
hats
so
altogether.
Serious.
Yeah, you know, Leo, he just keeps everybody in line.
Yeah.
No laughing,
uh-oh.
No more fun,
mm-mm.
No more singing. But this is the part of the show, if you happen to be watching us for the first time and you think they've gone insane, no, this is actually a part of the show that we like to use as an excuse to wear hats.
We
call them
app caps. Yeah, we planned it this way.
Totally. Yes.
Absolutely.
This was.
We put on our caps. We show off some.
We
apps.
All had a GoToMeeting discussion.
We did.
3 years ago, and we said this is the way that we can make use of all the hacks that we have here
and
studio.
Excuses to buy more.
That too.
Later.
Yes. And sometimes we even get them as gifts, and that's just. I mean, people sometimes bring us.
Yeah.
Like, really
I believe
cool
that
hats.
This was a gift from New Zealand.
This was a gift from. I don't know.
This still has the tags.
Meyer the Hatter. This is when
I still have tags on my hat, which makes me think that it came in that box of hats.
I've got a feather in my cap. This is good times. It really doesn't match the rest of what I'm wearing, but otherwise, I think I look pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know, this one would actually match your shirt.
It would. It would.
But
I'm already a leprechaun, so
yeah, I agree.
It's not really a leprechaun. It's more of like a zoot suit top.
It is.
Something
it is.
Like that. Anyway, this is the part of the show where Chad and I will each pick an app that we like a lot. We will tell you why it's so great. I'm going to start. My app is called Spin. Where are you, Spin? There you are. Not to be confused with Spin Magazine, which is one of my favorite magazine iPad apps. Spin is actually a video chatting app that works not unlike a Skype or, you know, a FaceTime, but it is, first of all, free, and you can have up to 10 people simultaneously chatting together. So it's almost like some sort of a cross between FaceTime and the Google Hangout, but it has a very unique interface. So I've gone ahead and loaded up the Spin app. Here's me. I've got a, they call it a... What do they call it? A gathering that's already set up. So currently the gathering is just me, but I can say, all right, well, I want Chad to be part of my gathering. Chad and I have already invited each other to be friends on Spin before the show starts. So I just go ahead and drag him over. And now I'm waiting for Chad to say, oh, yeah, I'd like to join.
Right. So over there on my side, I see that Sarah is now live and has a gathering going. So if I drag Sarah over into my little area.
It's a little dual friendship thing.
There we
Everybody
go.
Has to agree.
Oh, let me turn you down.
Yeah, let's mute each other.
There we go.
And then, yeah, so you've got me on your side, mm-hmm. and I've got you on my side, and now we're chatting. Of course, we're sitting right next to each other, but this could be anywhere. What's kind of cool about this is that it's all very fluid. It's all very iPad-y in that way. You don't really get this with any other app that I've tried. You can do kind of funny stuff like, you know, this is almost kind of Snapchat-y, where you can draw stuff on that page. Yeah, woo. What's that?
So over in the corner, you have a few that you're using the pin tool,
mm-hmm.
But you have some other tools. So not only do you have the pin, but you have sort of these five prearranged things. One of them is a Vuvuzilla, which if I had my yeah, I can't do that. But you can hear the Vuvuzilla go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly why I like this app, because of the Vuvuzilla.
And I love the Vuvuzilla, as you can see.
I just love it.
Love that Vuvuzilla. And you know what I hate?
What?
Asterisks. That's right.
That was rude. Whatever. So this is fun. Now, you noticed that I was able to minimize this window. And what's cool is that, okay, so Chad and I are chatting. And again, there could be more of us, but it's just the two of us for now. And Chad can start sharing images and videos with me and me with him. So he just shared a really cute image of his cat. I could share an image of a grumpy cat that I like a lot. Come on over, grumpy cat. There you go. So grumpy cat with her friend, the dog. And so there's a lot of we're not just looking at each other and chatting.
Yeah.
We're sharing a lot of multimedia.
We sort of have a canvas to work with.
Exactly. I don't know why it's having such a hard time pulling in my grumpy cat picture. It might actually be our network, because when I played with this earlier, it kind of bogged down a bit. But these could be photos from Facebook, from Flickr. If you sign into your accounts, you connect the two. You can invite other people once you've already got something going. Chad and I could be like, you know who would really think this is funny? Brian. Let's bring Brian into this. So
right.
It doesn't have to be something that everybody connects to at once. I think that considering it's a free app, and considering that we were able to start a little, I keep wanting to call them a hangout, but a gathering pretty easily. And yeah, you've just got that sort of, you know, I'm moving around, video's happening, you can spin it, you can make it your own.
I can change my color down here. So whichever pin tool color you're using is the color below you. So I changed it to red, I can change it to something else if I can touch it. There you go, now we got it on blue. There we go. that sort of stuff. Oh, look, the thing came over.
Well, that wasn't my grumpy cat photo, but I can show you. This is sort of like, you know, getting ready for Halloween. That's kind of fun. You know, like, hey, Chad, do you think I look good when I wear those teeth? Type of a thing, and so on. This is a good time. I really like this app. Again, it's free. I think it's, I mean, why not give it a try? This, yeah. Get creative with your friends. We talked about this on TNT the other day because it was a new app, and we were sort of like, so who's this for, right? It's not as if video chatting apps don't already exist, but I don't think that they exist in a way that's so much fun to use on an iPad. Yeah. If you are chatting with friends all the time and Chad is throwing tomatoes at my Halloween photo. So I'm
really
just
like
a little
it.
Distracted
it's
right
really
now.
Great. It's
yeah,
really
but it, but this is a good one to do. And it's easy to sign up for an account. It's easy to invite people. If they're in your contacts, you know, it'll pull them up and that's spin. So give it a spin if you like what you see, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And it's free.
Awesome. That's actually the best part. So, so what do you got, Chad?
I've been actually kind of dreading this app. I'm not going to lie. This is called Sing Karaoke. And this is made by Shmuel. Shmuel is known for doing sort of musical style apps, and this is no exception. This is this is the same sort of deal where it's very very musical. I'm actually trying to turn off the spin app because it is hogging my thing here. There we go. Now it's gone. Okay, so. This is Sing. It's Sing with an exclamation point in the App Store. And it brings karaoke to the iPad. Do you enjoy karaoke?
Oh, I do, Chad.
You will like
I
this
app. I certainly do.
So when you load it up, you're dropped into sort of a song list area. I wish they almost wouldn't have done this because your first reaction is to click on a song and then try to sing it. And you can't do that. And the reason is because in order to sing a song on your own, you need to have credits. And so you can see this one song costs 75 credits, and I only have 10 credits because I haven't put any money into this song. So it gives me a few things. Either I can buy more credits by going over here to the store, I get credits from either watching an ad or exploring other offers, which is kind of a bummer. Or I can pay for VIP access for just a week. It costs $3, which I would say is kind of an expensive proposition. For a month, it's $8, and for an entire year, it's $40.
But if you're just if you love singing,
yes.
It's certainly cheaper than renting out a private room at a karaoke bar in Japantown.
Or if you want to have a karaoke night at your house and all you have is an iPad.
Right.
$3 is way less expensive than a karaoke room. You're absolutely right.
Totally.
Now, the way that I figured out that I like using this app the best, and how you can use it as well if you don't want to spend any money, is if you hit the free button, this shows other people who are either VIP or have paid for this song that want to duet, and they need a partner to duet with. And so you can see that there's lots of people who shared a duet. You know, and I think this goes back like within 5 days, and so you can click into one. There's join part two or part one. So if you know the options, you know which part you want to play. You can do that. Let me make sure that my iPad is up, and it tells you if you don't have a headphone plugged in that you should probably really plug into headphones, and then you can start to sing your karaoke. So this is her part. Betraying my soul, and I don't realize I don't know this song very
That's
well.
That's why you have the words.
Yeah, so I'm going to pause it. Now you can either resume, restart, or you know what? I'm just going to back out, and I'm not going to use this song. Over here on the side, you can go ahead and search for one if you want. So let me just go ahead and actually do a song for you. And I did this one yesterday because it's nice and short. If you go to songbook, you have sort of like hashtags, users, and then actual songs. And so they have Reading Rainbow. You can preview it if you want. This is definitely the song that I want. And then,
oh my gosh.
And then let's choose someone. Here, let's choose this person. Here we go.
Now, who are the sort of like?
Sorry. And that's her. She's singing.
Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow. I can go anywhere. And ways to grow. Reading Rainbow. I can be anything. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. That was the duet part.
There we go. So, at the bottom, you have a few options, and she's going to actually hear this because it keeps recording. So, I can review what I just did.
So this is not just let's have fun. This is how good did I do?
This is
how well did I hit those notes?
Yeah, this is how well did I hit it. And then on top of that, you can share this. Very easily, and it's saved on your profile. So I can go ahead and click play, and so you can hear it going.
Now
you can.
That's her. She's singing. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading
this
Rainbow.
This is basic. I can do pop star, which it's hard to tell, but this is doing the modulation I forget the name of it. Auto-tune. It's doing auto-tune.
Oh, okay.
You can do indie, which makes it more grunge, normal, or stage, which adds sort of a reverberation to it. So let's pause it. So I'm going to hit save.
It's like thing. This is how you could practice for your future Tony Awards presentation.
Yeah. You have the option to text a link, email a link, tweet, or Facebook it. I'm not going to do any of those. But now that I'm done, it will recommend other songs. And what I'm actually going to do is go over to my profile. And there's some browsing around this is just absolutely fun. So your recordings are all here on your profile. You can either have public recordings, which if you do a duet, they're always going to be public. If you do a free song or you do one of your own songs, you can make it private and then it's not shared with anyone. This one was Bare Necessities.
Cousin.
With a guy who only did kazoo.
Oh my gosh.
So he's on the other side doing kazoo.
Worries and your strife. I mean
that's it. And then you can drag along.
I feel like you guys should be really good friends. He just seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, I know, right? And you can turn this up, Brian, if you want.
I chose you because you have a kazoo.
I was like talking to him because it gets recorded.
Never feel alone again.
Yeah. So there's that was Kazoo Guy. Here's one of my favorites was Shush Kazoo Guy. There we go. This was Hakuna Matata. And
Hakuna Matata.
That's not you, right?
Phrase. No, this is the person I was doing the duet with. There we go. And then the other funny thing is because you can record your voice and it's saved, this lady just cracked me up so much. This is Reading Rainbow again.
Just when you thought it was over.
It's butterfly in the sky time. And at the end, wait.
Just when you thought it was over.
Just when you thought it was over. Sarah, you thought it was over.
I sure did, Chad.
And then here she goes.
Oh!
She's getting into it.
She's throwing down some sass.
Yeah. Yeah, she was
ready. Sassy Rainbow.
Anyway.
She's a talented.
She's really good.
Show offy.
So if you're like me and just want to find these really funny people, there's also a section just for that. So if you head on over to the little sidebar, there is an area called Hot Performances. So you can check out, you know, people who are just doing really, really good and watch them. Also over on the side is my feed. I went ahead and this is just what I'm doing. So Kazoo Guy's in here with doing some stuff. The people who I'm following. So there's a few people that I did stuff with that I thought they were so good. Like Kazoo Guy's in there. He's the cat. That I just wanted to make sure that I stayed up to date with everything they were doing. The songbook is where you find songs. If you really don't want to pay for songs, you can always do the duet. Or way on the other side, there's this thing called free, and you get awesome songs such as
Bingo.
America the Beautiful, Bingo, the ABCs,
boy.
The alphabet song, This Little House of Mine, and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Interesting.
And that's all of them.
Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah, I know.
I've always
wanted
to say that.
You're very excited, right?
Over and over.
Your invites, hot performances, open mics, recents, friend requests, and stuff like that. I'm not really that big of a... Yeah, there you can see. I bet that's at shmuel.com. So you can see all the songs that I've done so far. Colors of the Wind was pretty bad. That was the first one that I decided to actually record.
But if somebody wants to try it out, again, there are some in-app purchases, but the app itself is free.
Yep.
And you can have some fun without paying a dime.
And always, yeah, and then there's also people who have VIP that sometimes it's just been like, this is solo. I'm not even singing during it. You can go crazy. You just get to join for free. So it's a really nice area. And sometimes you'll load up a song and there'll be someone who's doing the duet. There's a few times where it was. I mean,
what's happening?
This
what
was
that?
The first one I did.
You like this a little too much.
This is the first one I did, and it was really bad.
I mean,
this I hadn't plugged in the headphones yet.
Do you want to just do some more singing? That's cool.
I don't want to do this.
Should we get back into it?
This is Brian.
Would you like to talk about the app a little bit more?
You think the only thing who are people are people.
All right.
Come on, Sarah.
Okay. Cut the... All right. This is hysterical. Sing Karaoke by Smool.
Yep. It's free. In-app purchases, yep.
Free with in-app purchases. Love it. That is a seriously fun app. Yeah, think about it for your next party. Everyone says they hate karaoke until they start doing it,
yep.
And then you can't get the microphone out of their hand.
Yep. Oh, and the library. I meant to mention the library. It's pretty deep. Sorry. One more thing. And you'll find stuff in here that you wouldn't expect to find. There's Rhett and Link in here. The Facebook song or like My Hair Goes Up,
All
His
right.
Hair Goes Down.
All anyway, right.
You've got
a menu
good
too.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Also, there's an icon
yeah.
for the app that'll
also,
be
yeah.
on
you,
your
it
iPad.
Also, yeah, it has touch control.
Oh,
it's
neat.
It's touch sensitive. It's
crazy. Something that you can run inside the iPad. No, this, I'm kidding. That was awesome.
Thanks.
That's a good. I should say, and some of you who have watched iPad Today for a long time say, wait a second, haven't we talked about this before? This has been talked about before, but I was not going to say anything because I wanted Chad to sing
what?
On this
who
show.
Who talked about this before?
It doesn't matter.
No.
What the point is that you enjoyed yourself and so did
Darn
we.
It.
Right?
I should have checked the wiki.
Oh, it's been a while. It's
okay.
been a while. It's some, hey, sometimes apps have to get recycled. It's also changed quite a bit since the last time we talked about it,
yeah,
which was a long time ago.
One of the reasons I found this was because it's iOS 7 compatible.
Yes, it's one of the iOS 7 apps that looks really good. Good and acts really good in iOS 7, which has its own little area in the App Store that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's definitely worth just browsing if there's some apps in there that you haven't used yet. It's a great time to get familiar with them because they work well. Chad Johnson, thank you so
of
much
course, of
for
course.
Being a wonderful, wonderful fill-in host for Leo. I don't want Leo to go back on vacation, but he will eventually, and then you're going to have to do this again. I hope
yep.
that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's fine. I'll
and
be
now
back.
Tell
I'll
people.
Be happy to be back.
Good. And tell people where else they can watch your fine programs on Twitter and elsewhere.
Cool.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, so I do a show about Minecraft. It's called OMG Craft. I do a show about YouTube. That's This Week in YouTube. I help Video Switch, all about Android. And then I produce Twit, Twig, and MacBreak Weekly. And then on YouTube, youtube.com/OMGChad, I do personal stuff. like vlogs and Minecraft and video game Let's Plays. That is the personal channel I got to play with Etho and Seth Bling and Joe Hills is right there and a few other really cool Minecrafters. And we played the building game, which was absolutely hilarious. 4 minutes ago, while the show was going on, I went ahead and published Dwarves versus Zombies. You can see down there where I got to play with Old Man Willikers and Dire Dwarf. That was set to auto-upload. I didn't do that during the middle of the show. But it did publish only 4 minutes ago. And so that's all the stuff that I do on the interwebs.
Love it.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for joining us, Chad. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening to iPad Today. Reminder that we record this show live on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. But, of course, you can download the show, stream it off of our website, twit.tv/IPT. However you want to watch or enjoy the show is just fine with us. Yeah, you know, if you missed last week, Shannon Morris joined me. We had some cats come to the set. It was a lot of fun. big cats.
But were they karaoke?
40-pound cats. Yeah, singing cats. I don't know. Just have to watch that episode to find out. Thanks, everybody. Leo will be back next week. Until then, have a wonderful iPad-loving life.
Woo!
Oh! Oh!